We're going to learn Yuma Daf Chof. We're going to start from the next Mishnah, seven lines from the top of the Omud. Says the Mishnah, B'chol Yoim, every day, Toir Minas HaMizbeach, what would spark the beginning of the day's work would be Trumas HaMizbeach, which means that they would take a little bit of the ashes from that had piled up on the Mizbeach from the Korbonus that had been burnt the previous day and continued being burnt through the night. They would take a little bit, a shovelful, a little bit of the ashes, separate it from the Mizbeach, called Trumas Hadesh and Trumas HaMizbeach. And when would they do that? Normally it would be done B'Kriyas HaGever, when the Gever cries out. And we'll see in the Gemara, Gever either means a person who would announce, who would make an announcement, which we'll see, or it means a rooster, when the roosters start crying out. Oy samuch loy bein nefonov bein acharov, or just a bit before or a bit after, that sort of time, they would do the Toir Min Es HaMizbeach. That would be every day of the year. B'yoyim HaKippurim, however, on Yom Kippur, mechatzos, it would be done already from midnight, much earlier. Uberagolim, and on the Yomim Tovim, mehashmeres harishona, would be done from the end of the first hashmeres, which is a third into the night, which is a while before chatzos even. And now it's talking about the Yomim Tovim, the Ragolim, lohoiso kriyas hagever magas, that time of kriyas hagever, by the time there would be Kriyas HaGever, Achoisa Azora Meleo Yisrael, by that time, the Azora was already full of people from Klal Yisrael that were waiting there to be able to bring their Korbonus immediately after the Korban Tomid was brought. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hosam, we learnt in the Mishnah, Eivorim, Mishnah Zvochim, Eivorim Shepoku, those limbs that were on the Mizbeach overnight, because we know that every korban, the main part of the kapora of the korban is the zrikas adam. They would apply the blood onto the walls of the mizbeach. Besides for that, there were certain parts of the korban that would go onto the mizbeach. But those parts would continue burning and could even be put onto the mizbeach during the night. Until the following night, the night after the korban was brought. Now these evarim, these limbs, shepoku, if due to the heat on the mizbeach, they would burst, and they would fall off me'al gabi mizbeach, they would fall off the fireplace where they were supposed to be burning on the mizbeach, koidem chatzos. If that happened before chatzos, yachzir, then one was required to actually put these limbs back onto the fire to continue burning. Umoyalin bohen, and since they had not yet finished being done with them, the mitzvah, which means being completely burnt, therefore they would still had the title of Kedusha, of Kodesh Hashem, and therefore anybody who had any benefit from them would be Chayev Me'ila. La'achar chatzos, if however these Eivorim, these limbs that burst, they burst and came off the fireplace after chatzos, and we're not talking about those limbs that had not yet been burnt at all. We're talking about that the fire had already been on them, and the fire had already affected them. Moshlo behen ha'ur, the fire had already hardened them, and they were partially burnt already. Just, they still had some substance on them. They were not completely burnt. They were not completely ashes yet. So if that happened after chatzos, lo yachzir, then those limbs that had already been moshlo behen ha'ur, but had not yet been completely burnt, would not need to be put back. Ve'in mo'elin behen, since Chatzos, the point of Chatzos has arrived, and they've already been partially, or they've been hardened by the fire, it's considered as if the mitzvah was already done with them, and there's no more me'ila. Minoan emili, says the Gemara, where do we see that there's a difference between before Chatzos and after Chatzos? That till Chatzos, those limbs that still had some substance on them would have to be put back on. After Chatzos, not. Where would this be sourced? Omarav. Rav says the source is Kosov Echodomer. In one pasuk it says, Tzavis Aaron Vesbon of Lemur, Zois Toiras Ha'oilo, Hi Ha'oilo, this is the oilo al Moikdo al HaMizbeach, it was burnt on the fire on the Mizbeach, Kol Halailo, it would burn there the whole night, Ad HaBoiker, Ve'esh HaMizbeach, Tukad Boi. So what do we see in this pasuk? It says in the pasuk, Hi Ha'oilo al Moikdo al HaMizbeach, that the korban was on the fire on the Mizbeach, kol halaylo ad haboiker, the whole night till the morning. So you see that the entire night it takes in order for these limbs to be burned. That means as long as they're not being reduced to ashes, they are still part of the mitzvah, is to continue burning them until the morning. That's what it says in that first pasuk, in pasuk base. What does it say in pasuk gimel? Because of Echad Omer, it says kol halaylo v'heirim. And it doesn't actually say that in the next pasuk, but the next pasuk it says v'lovash hakoyein midoy vad u'michne seivad yilbash al basori v'heirim es hadeshen. He should lift. He should separate the ashes ashatoich halo eish, that the fire has burnt. They will take a little bit of the ashes and put it next to the mizbeach. And these two psukim are one after the other. So in the first pasuk it says hi ha'oilo al moikdo ala mizbeach. First it says that the korban oilo should be on the fire on the mizbeach. Then it says kol alaylo ad aboiker, all night till the morning. And then in the next pasuk it says that the kohen should wear the clothes and separate some of the ashes. So the words kol halaylo, all night, could also be referring to the pasuk base where it says hi ha'oilo al moikdo, that the korban should actually burn all night, or it could be referring to what it says in the next pasuk, that the entire night, any point in the entire night, the kohen can put on the relevant clothes and separate part of the ashes. So it seems to be a contradiction. Do you say that the night, the whole night, is there to be for burning the limbs, and only after that they would take the ashes? Or do you say that the whole night is there to be taken, that you can take from the ashes the whole night? That seems to be a type of a contradiction in the pasuk. So that's what Rav was commenting on. Kosov echad oimer kol halaylo, referring to the whole night, it says v'hiktir. Hi ha'oilo al moikdo ala mizbeach. V'kosov echad oimer, and the next pasuk, it says kol halaylo in the first pasuk, followed by v'heirim in the second pasuk. How can we reconcile these two psukim? Ha'oketzad, cholku, split the night into two. Chetz yilak Torah, the first half of the night until midnight is for burning, and half of the night is for harama, is for separating the ashes. And at this point we assume that we're talking particularly about those limbs that moshlo bohen ha'ur, that the fire had already hardened them, and we say that the first half of the night it's not yet considered as their job done. They have to leave them on the mizbeach, and if they fall off, put them back on. After midnight, since it's also been already moshlo bohen ha'ur, and it's after midnight, that's it. It's already, so to speak, considered deshen, we view it as ashes, and from this point on is the time where you could actually remove those burnt parts of the korban in chumas hadeshen. That's how Rav understood to be the source of what we saw in the Mishnah, that evorim shepokum el gabi mizbeach, koidim chatzois yachzir, umoyalin ben la'acha chatzois lo yachzir, ve'en moyalin ben. Mosi Rav Kahana had an issue with this. B'chol yom, what did we see in our Mishnah? That's how this sugya comes in here. In our Mishnah it said that every day of the year, toyim nes ha-mizbeach, b'kriyas ha-gever, oysomuch loy bein melefonov, bein melachrov. That every day of the year, when would they do the trumas ha-mizbeach? That would be done approximately at the time of kriyas ha-gever. B'yom ha-kippurim, on Yom Kippur they would do it from midnight. U'b'regolim, but on Yomim Tovim, me'ashmeris ha-rishonah, they would do it from the third of the night, which is even before chatzos. So the Gemara is asking, Rav Kahana is asking against Rav, if you're going to say that you actually learned from the seeming contradiction in the pasuk, that the time to do Trumas HaMizbeach is only from half the night, and you cannot do Trumas HaMizbeach before chatzos, how can you on Yom Kippur, how can you do the Trumas HaMizbeach, not Yom Kippur, on the Regolim, on all the Yomim Tovim, how can you do the Trumas HaMizbeach before Chatzos? Elo Omer, Rabbi Yechanan has a different source. Mimashma shenemar kol halaylo. From the Rabbi Yechanan is asking a pasuk, is asking a question. What does it say in the pasuk? Tavis Aaron responded, "Lemer zois toiras ha'oilo hi ha'oilo al moikto al mizbeach kol halaylo." That the korban oilo should burn on the mizbeach all night, but that's not enough. Ad ha'boiker, till the morning. Well, if it's all night, it is till the morning. So Rabbi Yechanan is asking, Mimashma shenema kol halaylo eini yodea ad aboiker, uma talmud lema ad aboiker. It seems to be that there's a morning before the morning. Because if it would just say all night, I would know it's till the regular, what we call morning, alois hashachar. But here it says ad aboiker. It seems that there's a morning before the morning. 10 boiker, give a morning, le boiker shalaila, to the regular morning that marks the end of the night. When would that be? That would be chatzos. Hilkach. That means what we actually see here is that the requirement to keep a korban on the mizbeach to be burnt is only not, that means it's not till the morning, marking the end of the night, but the morning before that, which means till chatzos. And that is the source of the Mishnah that we learned there, that from chatzos, a limb of a korban that fell off the mizbeach or fell off the fireplace on top of the mizbeach that had been already hardened, moshlo ben ha'ur, and chatzos has passed, that's the boiker le boiker. At that point, you do not need to put it back on. But then we don't have any source whatsoever to say that the Trumas HaDeshen has to be done only from Chatzos. No, we just have an extra word in the Pasuk, Ad Boiker, to tell us that from Chatzos you do not need to return those limbs, that Moshlo Ben Ha'or, that had fallen off, you don't need to put them back. But what do we see here? That the time for burning the Korbanos is all night. Providing, that means if it hasn't yet been Moshlo Ben Ha'or, it's all night. And there's no limit to that. The time for taking Trumas HaDeshen could be all night. If those limbs that had been completely burnt and there was no substance left on them, then already from the beginning of the night, it doesn't matter. All night, you can take the Trumas HaDeshen. You can take the ashes off the Mizbeach. It's only regarding those limbs that Moshlo Ben Ha'or that we say that till Chatzos, you have to put them back onto the fire. And therefore, since we now no longer have a pasuk to say that Torah min haMizbeach is only from Chatzos, we can understand that at any time in the night, min haTorah, you can do the Trumas haMizbeach. Hilkoch, therefore, b'chol yom Torah min haMizbeach b'kriyas haGever yisamuch lo bein milafonov bein milacharov sagya. Every other day, there was not too many ashes, any of the Kohenim could do it, and we'll learn about it a little bit more later on, and in Maseches Tomid at length, but every other day, Kriyas HaGever, more or less, when either the roosters would cry or the announcer would come with his announcement, about that time they would suffice to do the Trumas HaMizbeach. B'yom HaKippurim, however, on Yom Kippur, de'ikah chulsha de Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol himself had to do the Trumas HaMizbeach, and the Kohen Gadol was weak, and it would take him longer. We wanted to give him more time, and therefore, avdinon mechatzois, we have said any time from Chatzos already, we say start doing the Trumas HaMizbeach already then. Uberogolim, and in Yom Tovim, where there was a tremendous amount of ashes that were on the fireplace on top of the Mizbeach, because after they would take away this shovelful or this little bit of ashes, they would then take all the remaining ashes and put it onto a big heap in the middle of the Mizbeach called the Tapuach. And on the Yomim Tovim, they wouldn't remove the ashes, which they would often do. The ashes that were not used for the Trumas HaMizbeach, they would then remove and take outside the Machna and take it away. However, on the Yomim Tovim, it was a big Kiddush Hashem, an inspiration to see how many Korbanos were being brought, that they would make a point of piling up all that ashes in the middle of the Mizbeach. At one point, there were 300 kur of ashes piled up. And since there were so many korbanos, it took a tremendous amount of time to actually shovel all that ashes into the pile in the middle of the Mizbeach. It would not suffice even to start at Chatzos. Uberogolim d'nefishi Yisrael, on Yomim Tovim, that many Yidden were there. Unefisha korbanos, and there were many korbanos and a tremendous amount of ashes, of Dinon me'ashmeres ha'rishayno, they would do the Trumas HaMizbeach from the Ashmeres ha'rishayno, from a third of the night. Kediktoni taimo. And in that Mishnah, in the Mishnah itself, it says, as we saw in our Mishnah, that the Mishnah says that Baragolim, that Lohoisa Kriyas HaGever Magas, by the time there would be Kriyas HaGever on the Yomim Tovim, Achois Azora Maleo Yisrael, that time wouldn't arrive before the whole Azora was full of Klal Yisrael. So you can see how much of Klal Yisrael were there. And that was actually the reason that on the Yomim Tovim they would do the Trumas HaMizbeach and piling up of the ashes, they would do it much earlier, even earlier than Chatzos, from a third of the night. Continues the Gemara, my Kriyas HaGever. Now we have to understand, what is this Gever? Which Gever cries out? Rav Omar Koro Gavra. Rav says it was a person who was appointed to make an announcement. That was Kriyas HaGever. At the time that he would make that announcement, Reb Shila Omar Kro Tarnagoyla. It was actually a rooster that would cry out in the morning. Rav Ikle le Astrid Rav Shila. Rav was once visiting the place of Rabbi Shila. There was no Amoira. Amoira means a speaker, a translator and speaker who could translate the drasha of Rabbi Shila. It was common practice that the Chacham would get up and give his drasha relatively quietly in Lashna Kodesh. And then a translator would then say over what the Chacham had said to the whole public, translating and telling the public the drasha in a loud voice. And at one point, Rabbi Shila, who was the Chacham in that place, was giving his shir, his drasha, and there was nobody to translate and to speak it to the tzibur. And Rav happened to be visiting. Kom Rav Ale. So Rav stood up and says, I'll be the translator. I'll be your speaker. And they didn't know it was Rav. Rav was a much, much greater Chacham than Rabbi Shila was. And he didn't make a big issue of that. He was just translating Rabbi Shila's drasha. The Kamafarish, when Rabbi Shila happened to mention in his drasha the concept of Kriyas HaGever, my Kriyas HaGever, how did Rav translate Kriyas HaGever? Kro Gavra, that the person, he was the one that cried out. And Rabbi Shila heard this. And we just saw before that Rabbi Shila himself actually held what's Kriyas HaGever? The rooster, not the person. And here we had Rav and Rabbi Shila that had an old machlokes, what Kriyas HaGever means. And Rav was translating Rabbi Shila's shir, and he translated it according to his own opinion. And normally we know that the person translating the shir of the Chacham has to be loyal to what the Chacham says. Omar le Rabbi Shila. So Rabbi Shila said to Rav, V'lei memar kro tarnagoyle, can you please translate Kriyas HaGever as the calling, the crying of the rooster? Because I hold that's what it means. Omar le, so Rav said to Rabbi Shila, Avuv, a flute, l'chori, that is played before nobles, zemer, is considered music. Le garadoi loy mekablu amine, but to weavers, people who don't appreciate music, for them they don't see that this is music. They think it's just a noise. And what he was trying to say to Pshila is kihava koimna. When I was standing and translating the drashas aleidu Rabchia by my uncle Rabchia, umefarishna. And we would explain, I would explain my Kriyas HaGever, Kro Gavra, I would explain, when Rabbi Chiya said Kriyas HaGever, I would explain, it's the calling of a person, not a rooster. Rabbi Chiya didn't say a word to me, he accepted the way I explained it. Vat omrisli, and you are telling me, Eima Kro Tarnagoylta, I should change it, that it's the calling of the chicken. So he was more or less saying to Rabbi Shila, you know, with all due respect, but you know, great and big people hold otherwise. I don't think you should be telling me to change it. Omale, Rav Shila realized it was Rav that was translating his drasha, and Rav was so much bigger than him. So he said to him, Omale, Mar Nihu Rav, are you Rav that was the speaker, the translator of your great uncle Rav Chia? Nei Nachmar, sit down. It's below your dignity to have to translate my drasha. I'm much smaller than you. You shouldn't be translating my drasha. Omale, Rav responded to Rabbi Shila and says, don't worry, it's okay. Omri Incha, people say, Itigris, I Tigarisle, if you've been hired to work for somebody for a day, you should do everything he asks you. Puts Omri, even comb his wool, even if it's below your dignity, you've been hired, do the job you've been asked. I've started translating your drasha, I'm going to continue translating your drasha, it's okay. Ikad Omri, others say, Hachi Omale, Rav said to Rabbi Zera, Rav said to Rabbi Shila, sorry, he said, Malin Bekoidish Veloy Maridin, if your drasha was given so much esteem that I, Rav, was translating it, your drasha doesn't deserve to be downgraded that somebody else should now continue translating. And I, Rav, will continue translating your drasha to give the due honor to the rest of this drasha. Continues the Gemara. Tanya Kavasei de Rav, Tanya Kavasei de Rav Shila. We're going to find a braisa like Rav that says that Kriyas HaGever is a person who would call out and make an announcement, and another braisa that says that Kriyas HaGever is the rooster. Tanya Kavasei de Rav, where's the braisa like Rav? It says that Gvini Korus, this person called Gvini, he would make the announcements. Mahu Oimer, what announcement would this announcer called Gvini say? He would say, Imdu Kayanim Kayanim, stand up. It was early in the morning. It was still night. It was before the day. Imdu Kayanim, stand up, Lavidaschem, to come and do your work. Ulevim, and the Levim should stand up, Luduchonom, and be ready to be on the platform to sing. Vistroel, and those of Klal Yisrael that were going to be present at the time of the Avodah, stand up and come l'mamadchem, to take up your stations, to be present. And the voice of this gvini nishma b'sholish parasois, it was heard for the distance of three parasois. Maisa, there was once an incident with Agrippa Samelech. Shahayabor baderech, Agrippa Samelech was travelling along the way. V'shoma koiloi begimul parasois, and he heard the voice of this gvini three parasois away from the Beis Hamikdash. Ukshabol beisei, when he arrived home, shigar loy matonis, he was very impressed and taken aback by that, and he sent gifts to gvini. V'afal pikein, says the Gemara. Says the Braisa, Kohen Gadol Meshubach Mimenu, the voice of the Kohen Gadol would go even further than three parasois. The Omar Mar, because we're going to see later in the Gemara, Ukvar Omar, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur would say, Ono Hashem, the Vidui, you would say the words, Ono Hashem, V'nishma Koile B'Yerichoi, and his voice was heard all the way to Yerichoi. V'omar Rabba Bar Barchon, Omar B'Yichron, Mirshalayim L'Yerichoi, Eser parasoi, there was 10 parasois, not just 3, there was 10 parasois from the Beis Hamikdash to Yerichoi, and the sound of the Kohen Gadol saying the vidui was heard all the way to Yerichoi. And besides for the tremendous distance, there's a lot more to be amazed about. There's a lot more, so to speak, the voice of the Kohen Gadol was disadvantaged somewhat than the voice of Gvini every night. And nonetheless, his voice carried to 10 parasoi, not just to 3 parasol. Why, what were they? Ma'afel gav dehocha, even on Yom Kippur, ikka chulsha. The Kohen Gadol was fasting, and we would have thought his voice would be weakened. And nonetheless, it reached 10 parasoi. V'hocha, lekka chulsha, but gvini, on every other night, there was no weakness. Hocha, and also another point on Yom Kippur, Yomom, it was in the middle of the day. It was daytime already. V'hosam laylo, gvini came in the night. The Kohen Gadol cried out in the day. Dom Reblevi. And Reblevi said that there's a lot of other noise during the day that minimizes the sounds in the day, that quietens the other sounds in the day, and that would be a reason that the Kohen Gadol's voice in the day should not reach that far, and nonetheless it got that far. Why is a person's voice less heard during the day than at night? Because of the ball of the sun, sawing its way through the sky, like a carpenter, who is sawing with cedars. And this sawdust that can only be seen when the rays of the sun shine on it, these dust particles of the sawdust, lo shemei, they're insignificant, and therefore they were called lo, which means as being insignificant. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar said, called daira ara, all the people living on earth, kelo chashiva, are considered like nothingness. And that's what sawdust was also called, nothingness. But either way, what do we see there? We see that the sound of the Galgal Chama makes noise, and it quietens, it dulls all the other sounds. And therefore, the voice of Gvini should have carried even further because it was the night. Nonetheless, Gvini's voice went 3 parasol, and the Kohen Gadol's went 10 parasol. Tonar Abonon, Ilmole Galgal Chama, if not for the sound of the ball of the sun, Nishma Koil Hamoino Shel Roimi, then one would hear the sounds of the crowds in Rome. Vilmole Koil Hamoino Shel Roimi, if not for the sounds of the crowds in Rome, Nishma Koil Galgal Chama, we would hear the sounds of the ball of the sun sawing its way through the sky. Ton Rabbonim learnt in another Braisa, Sholish Koilos, 3 sounds, Holchin Mesoifo Ilum Vatsoifoi, 3 sounds, they go from one side, can be heard from one side of the world to the next. Ve'eluhin, Koil Galgal Chama, the sound of the ball of the sun. Ve'koil Amoina Shel Roimi, and the sound of the crowds in Rome. Ve'koil Nishma B'shor Sheyotza Min Aguf. Ve'koil Neshama B'shor Sheyotza Min Aguf, and the sound of the Neshama when it leaves the body, when it passes away. Ve'yesh Oimim Afleida, and some say also the sound at birth. V'yesh Oimim, and some say Af Ridya, also the angel that's in charge of the rain, that it's called Ridya because it's like a bull. He's got the form of a bull, of a shoyer, and then that malach also makes this sound. Oboy Rabbonon Rachme and Neshama, b'shal shi'etsa min aguf, the Rabbonon, the Chachomim, they davened for mercy on the Neshama when it leaves the guf, ubitlua, and from that point on, the Neshama does not make that sound anymore when it leaves the guf. But either way, we see here that the tremendous sound, the voice of the Kohen Gadol that would carry on Yom Kippur, the vidui, all the way to Yericho. But what did we see in this braisa? That the Kohen Gadol, he said his vidui on Yom Kippur, but who was doing the cruz, the announcement? It was Gvini who made an announcement every day. Kohanim wake up, Leviim wake up, Yisrael wake up. And you see, it was a human being. Like Rav said, that Kriyas HaGever is the crying out of the human being. Tani Kava said, Reb Shila, now we're going to find a braisa like Reb Shila, that it was actually the roosters that would cry out in the morning. Hayotze l'derech, if somebody goes on his journey, Kodem Kriyas HaGever, before the sounding of the Gever, we'll soon see who that is. Dome Baroshe, it's too early in the day, or it's still nighttime, and the evil spirits, the Mazikim, are still lurking around. And if you go and something happens, you'll be held responsible. Rabbi Yashi Omar. Rabbi Yashi says it's not enough that you hear the Kriyas HaGever, the cry of the Gever, once. Achishane, you shouldn't leave on your journey until it repeats itself. And some say until it triples itself. Three times the Kriyas HaGever, only then you should go on your journey. Here the Braisa says explicitly, which rooster are we talking about? So you see explicitly that the Tana refers to Kriyas HaGever, not referring to a person, rather to a rooster, because the Braisa asks, which type, which size rooster do we say that only after it cries once, twice, or three times should a person go on its way? Omru b'tarnagoyl, b'inonian, average size tarnagoyl that doesn't cry too early, doesn't cry too late. That's the one you should gauge with. So we clearly have, that means there is no discussion as to whether roosters cry. Of course, Kriyas HaGever is also the roosters crying out. And Kriyas HaGever, we know that Gvini, he cried out. There's no machlekas about that. Gvini also, early in the morning, he cried out. The machlekas was just when the Mishnah speaks about Kriyas HaGever in the context of our Mishnah, that they would get up and do the Trumas HaMizbeach, that what did it mean? That was Machlekes Rav and Reb Shila, whether the Kriyas HaGever in our Mishnah was the Kriyas HaGever mentioned by Gvini, which was a human being, and then the Gever would mean a man, or does Kriyas HaGever in our Mishnah refer to the Kriyas HaGever mentioned in the Braisa of Yetzel Ederech, which is the crying out of the rooster? And Emir Tzashem, in the next year, we're going to continue from here.